This is Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. I'm coming to you from the suburbs of Chicago. Thanks for joining me today, and thanks for listening to RBN, for those who can handle the truth. To see the guest schedule for this program, please visit Spingola.com, click on the radio schedule button, and you will be able to see a list of the guests together with links to their websites, as well as other links. For questions or comments during the program, please email Spingola1 at yahoo.com. My regular email is Deanna at Spingola.com, which I do not access during the program. We will take calls in the second hour after the first break at 800-313-9443. My guest today is Keith Johnson. His website is revoltofthepleb.wordpress.com. Keith, welcome to the program.
Deanna, how are you?
I'm very well. And you?
Oh, not doing too bad. Been busy putting out fires and taking care of business, but had little time to devote to my writing, but I've been doing a lot of research, and hopefully I'll be able to share some of that with you today. I've been working on four projects, but one of the things that is most pressing that I'm trying to get out there is some of the trying to debunk a lot of the myths that are out there circulating amongst the pro-Israeli group trying to portray Obama as not fully committed to Israel's safety and security. you know, there's a lot of that out there. And I guess my thesis that I will be putting forth in an upcoming essay, which is going to be quite extensive. It's not going to be an article. It'll be something probably in the neighborhood of 10 or 11 pages, is that in the long run, I would say if as far as picking presidents, whether it be Obama or Romney, I would say that the long-term effects of a Obama presidency are potentially more dangerous for the world scene and probably more in line with Israel's interests, at least in terms of their safety and security, whereas an Obama or a Romney president, rather, could potentially bring Israel down. And I'm talking within 5, 10, 15 years. So,
really?
Anyway. Yeah.
even though Romney has been friends with Netanyahu since 1976?
Well, yeah, well, that's just the point. I mean, we're talking about figures who are, they have a religious undertone to their way of thinking, which makes them not too clear-headed when it comes to strategy and foreign policy. And there's a lot of this American exceptionalism that comes into play when we're speaking about people like Romney and, you know, a lot of American support base that he has of the Christian Zionists. And the same goes for Netanyahu. They have a chosen people exceptionalism, and they believe that God is on their side. You know, whether it be, you know, the rabid support base that they have here in the United States, there's a religious aspect to it. And they're going to make foolish decisions, things that are not in their interest, because they believe that they're invincible and that they cannot be defeated. And we find, well, I hear the music coming up, so we'll...
All righty. We'll be right back in 3 minutes with our guest today, Keith Johnson, so stay tuned.
Hey, meat eaters, the freeze-dried guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dried guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The freeze-dried guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes 6 number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the Freeze Dry Guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
Don't answer it! How can I stop these annoying collection calls?
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plans, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now, 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
Chlorine, fluoride, pathogens, and more are in the water you drink day to day. Do you want the ability to remove and reduce those harmful things in the water you drink? You can. How? With a Berkey water filter. A complete standalone gravity filter system that requires no electricity and no plumbing. Use for emergencies or for every day. Berkey systems come in 7 different sizes. Where can you get one? From GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com. With the purchase of each system, you get 50% off accessories, such as fluoride filters, water level spigot, and sport bottles. Plus, free shipping on all orders over $25. For a limited time, get 5% off all ceramic systems when you use coupon code RBN. Call GetBerkey at 855-GetBerkey. That's 855-438-2375. Or visit GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com.
All righty, welcome back. Our guest today is Keith Johnson. His website is revoltofthepleb.wordpress.com. All righty. We're talking about their mentality, their exceptionalism, both here in this country, which I've always maintained is so similar to the chosenness that the Jews embrace. And I'm thinking, wow, that's kind of weird that, you know, we have them kind of running the country, and we also have adopted that exclusivity.
Yes, and, you know, there's this misconception because of the mainstream media and even in the alternative press that all Jews are in lockstep with foreign policy on how to deal with the Israeli-Palestinian situation and how to deal with Iran and all of Iran's allies, including Syria and Lebanon, but that's just simply not true. There are two distinct and clearly defined schools of thought, and really when it boils down to it, you can divide them, and this is really a lazy way of doing it, but you can divide them between the more religious Jews and the secular Jews, identifying themselves as leftist Zionists or left-wing Zionists, and the those who are more in line with the Netanyahu way of thinking, which just consider themselves to be hardline Zionists. You know, getting back to Obama and Romney, I mean, we're getting down to the wire here where the American people are going to have to decide between these two animals, whether they want 4 more years of Barack Obama or changing of the guard with this billionaire pretty boy, this Mormon by the name of Mitt Romney, who wears his Zionist support for the criminal state of Israel on his sleeve and will more than likely be Netanyahu's lapdog in the Oval Office, giving him everything he wants and more, even if that means taking us into another war, a preemptive strike on Iran. And hopefully I'm not offending your listeners by saying that, because I know that there are a lot of people out there who don't like it when you don't include Ron Paul in the scenario. I think that we have to wait after the election to say that Ron Paul's not going to become president. But I think at this point it's safe to say that we can exclude him from the race. So I think you'll agree with me there. But anyway, you were talking about this relationship with Romney and Netanyahu, and it is ironclad, and it dates back to the mid-70s, back to about 1976, when they were both business advisors for the same consulting group called Boston Consulting. And they've been good pals ever since. They've advised each other over the years on various things, domestic and foreign policy. It's been more Netanyahu getting advice from Romney on domestic issues, whereas on foreign policy, he's been Romney has been taking from Netanyahu. And Romney has even stated in public that he's not going to make any significant foreign policy decisions, particularly when it relates to Israel, without consulting Netanyahu.
Oh, my word.
Yeah, he said that publicly. And yes, he is what you would consider a thoroughbred neocon, died in the war, warmonger.
He's been a member of a Michigan crime family for a good long time. I mean, a lot of his money was obtained through illegal importing and exporting of products. And he did some pretty rotten things. One of the a lady that I talked to several months ago on the telephone that lives in Michigan indicated to me that when he felt that she was going to blow the whistle on him, he had the police trump up some charges against her and got her thrown in jail. So this guy has been, he knows how to play the political game and has for a long time.
Yeah, and I'm really surprised that he has made it as far as he has, in light of all the financial donations that have come to Newt Gingrich from the likes of Sheldon Adelson, and just the fact that he's a Mormon, which isn't really a mainstream religion, especially amongst the rabid supporters of Israel who consider evangelical Christianity to be, the one and only true religion, and kind of consider Mormonism to be a cult. And I think when it really comes down to it that, that's going to be a contributing factor in his defeat, and I think Obama's going to overtake him, because Obama has, last election he got 78% of the Jewish vote. And everybody's going to say out there, well, is that really a lot? Because they only contribute to like 2% of the population. But the thing is they live in all of the major metropolitan areas where those votes are essential. And plus Obama's going to get all of the black vote, most of the Hispanic vote, most of the other minority votes. And there'll be a lot of people who just decide to sit out because they don't want to participate one way or the other. But anyway, getting back to Romney, he shakes his fists, he makes threats, just like a neocon would. And all these things that get us out into the collar sometimes compels us to make foolish pronouncements, even in this movement, that we'd rather see Obama in the presidency because of, Romney's just vocal support for Israel. Those of us who consider ourselves to be rabid anti-Zionists, Obama seems to be like the lesser of two evils. We'll say, I've heard people say it. At least Obama has put up some resistance to Israel and isn't reluctantly going on with this foolish plan to strike Iran. And, a lot of the Jews out there don't like him. I mean, back in January you had this guy named Andrew Adler of the Atlanta Jewish Times coming out and saying that, well, maybe it's time that we should consider killing Obama to save Israel. That's basically what he said. And we've got all this obvious tension between Netanyahu and Obama, who obviously don't like each other. got Fox News, World Net Daily, all the notorious Zionist outlets, screaming how Obama has thrown Israel under the bus, that he's a Muslim, that he's an existential threat to Israel's security.
I think that's the whole reason that they groomed him and put him into the presidency, because he has this shady past, and because they can claim that he's a Muslim, and then he can come in and do all this egregious legislation like Obamacare, so that most of the people will a lot of the people will absolutely detest him, and then they can, you know, they can say, oh, see what the Muslims are, see what kind of people they are, look what they're trying to do to us. And I think it's just basically controlled opposition. And I think that they did this so that they could then bring in Romney as part of the factor of this controlled opposition kind of a thing. And then you also have the idea that perhaps Romney will get rid of Obamacare, even though he is the one that really, put it in the state that he was governor of, in Massachusetts. So.
And when you're talking about domestic issues, there really is no difference between Obama and Romney. And when it comes to Israel, you do definitely have two different camps there, and they are competing. They're not in lockstep with each other. You've got the neocons who are playing football, and then you've got these so-called leftist liberal Jews who are also pro-Israel, who are playing chess. And they're thinking more with their heads rather than with another part of their anatomy. But, going on with this, people in our movement, they see this opposition that comes from the right, from the people who we detest, like, John McCain and Lieberman, AIPAC, and all this thing, and we tend to have sympathy for Obama. And it's like, well, if they don't like him, he can't be at all. He can't be all that bad. But I disagree. In fact, I see 4 more years of Obama working in the best interest of Israel, whether they, and I'm saying whether they in Israel like it or not, I think he's going to work out in their best interest. And when I say in their best interest, I mean that the way he's running the game ensures Israel's survival, whereas these nutcases like Netanyahu and his buddy Romney could lead them into foolish decisions that's going to lead to their demise.
As soon as he got in, he increased the troop deployment to the Middle East. So I don't know where they're coming up with this thing that he is not for Israel, because when he spoke in 2008, when he was on the campaign trail, he spoke before AIPAC and basically pledged his loyalty to them. And I don't think that has changed. I think that when people say, oh, he's not for Israel, I think it's just part of the political rhetoric, part of the game, so that the left and the right can pretend to have this, this fight, this wrestling match. It's all a facade.
Yeah, and, let's go over his pro-Israeli record. There's a lot of propaganda out there that, like I said, that coming from the so-called conservatives, which are pseudo-conservatives, I like to call them, saying that he's not fully committed to Israel. But let's just go over his record. I mean, during the early days of his administration,
Whoops. All righty, we've got the music. We will be back in 3 minutes after a word from our sponsors, so stay tuned.
As business becomes more difficult, control of cash and the ability to borrow becomes critical. Working capital cash is your greatest insurance and guarantee of financial stability in these uncertain times. Equipment leasing allows you to obtain the income-producing equipment that your business needs and pay for it with tax-free, ever-devaluing dollars. Money that you've already earned and paid taxes on should be sparingly used. That is your reserve capital, safety net. We are also able to buy and lease back equipment that you already own and have depreciated, thereby making more cash available for your present day needs. For a complete, comprehensive explanation as to how this financial truth will benefit your business future, call Bob New Incorporated at 888-639-2621. 888-639-2621. Keep your working capital cash reserves and borrowing capability. 888-639-2621.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. Theravim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from Theravim? Simple. Theravim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to Theravim.com. That's TERRAVIM.com. Theravim, the best supplements on earth.
Herbal Healer Academy's new summer specials. Our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Organic liquid iodine, liquid cal, Meg, vitamin D, CoQ10 with hawthorn, colon enhancer, Super 2, natural laxative, our exceptional product, Connexin, memory power, and Super Male and Femplex. All on sale for the summer at herbalhealer.com. Also, 10% off on the HHA Survival Course. This is an important time to have this information. Might save your life. Nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education. herbalhealer.com. Free online newsletter. Quality natural medicine supplier since 1988. We ship the same day you place your order. Free 128-page catalog with your first order. Go to herbalhealer.com today. herbalhealer.com.
Welcome back. Our guest today is Keith Johnson. His website is revoltofthepleb.wordpress.com. Let me give you a little bit of background. George Soros hosted a fundraiser for Barack Obama on June 7th, 2004 at his New York home. Obama, allegedly a 32nd degree Prince Hall Freemason, was seeking his first political position as a senator in the Illinois legislature. The League of Conservative Conservation Voters, a Rockefeller family operation, also endorsed Obama and ran expensive TV ads, then funneled funds directly to David Axelrod, then Obama's career handler. On December 4th, 2006, Soros and a dozen plutocrats, including Robert Wolf, the U.S. chief of the Union Bank of Switzerland and a Swiss bank hedge fund manager, Orrin Kramer, met in Soros' Manhattan office for a job interview with the U.S. Senator Barack Obama, who was senator until 2008. A week later, Obama and Robert Wolf met to devise a campaign strategy. In January 2007, Wolf held a dinner for Obama and invited potential bundlers Jim Torrey, Brian Mathis, Jamie Rubin, and Orrin Kramer. In March 2007, Wolf and Edgar Bronfman Jr. each held a fundraiser for Obama. To distance themselves from each other in March 2007, Soros and Obama feigned opposition. Soros denounced the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, and in response, Obama excoriated Soros and denounced the Hamas movement. So it's always about denouncing one or the other, but basically, they're all in bed together.
Yes, and I'm glad you brought that up. You saved me the trouble. I wanted to bring up some of those names, some of his Zionist backers, and there's a few more I will add in there later on. But going over his record on Israel, You know, we can start with the early days of his administration, when he secretly approved the transfer of 55 high-tech bunker-busting bombs to Israel. And this is something that even Bush refused to do. The Israelis requested these bunker busters back in 2005, but at the time the Pentagon froze almost all U.S.-Israeli joint defense projects because they were concerned that Israel is transferring all of this technology over to China. And what else has Obama done? He sent Israel the largest ever security assistance funding in 2010, which amounts to $2.775 billion. He raised that to $3 billion in 2011. He spent more than 50% of the Pentagon's foreign military finances programs budget on Israel. He's provided more than $200 million annually to U.S.-Israel joint missile defense programs like Iron Dome. He's granted Israeli forces access to advanced U.S. military hardware like the F-35 Joint Strike Fighter, emergency stockpiles and their discounted equipment. He authorized the largest ever U.S.-Israel military exercise, Juniper Cobra. He condemned the U.N.'s Goldstone Report on Operation Cast Lead, a group that killed 1,400 Palestinians, many of them women and children. He called the report unbalanced, one-sided, and basically unacceptable, and lobbied heavily against the report advancing beyond the Human Rights Council. And he's also supported Israel after the Gaza Flotilla incident, which killed 9 peaceful activists, including 1 American. He boycotted the 2009 United Nations Conference on Racism, the Durban 2, citing concerns of anti-Semitism and anti-Israel sentiment. He fought against efforts to make Israel accountable for their nuclear weapons program during the International Atomic Energy Agency General Conference in 2010. And how about this bid for Palestinian statehood, which was back in 2010, when he got before the United Nations General Assembly in New York back in September, and he said basically, peace is hard work. Peace will not come through statements and resolutions at the United Nations. If it were that easy, it would have been accomplished by now. And as soon as he gave this statement, one of the editors over at Jerusalem Post wrote that this was perhaps, he called Obama's speech the most pro-Israel speech anyone has heard at that World Forum for a very long time.
And he had Axelrod and Rahm Emanuel as his spokespeople, chief of staff until they installed him as mayor in Chicago, which is another thing that he did.
And then they replaced, and now they have Jack Lew in there, perhaps even more, more insanely Zionist than Rahm Emanuel was, yeah.
Yes. Not only that, Don, one of our listeners said that yesterday he gave Madeleine Albright and Bob Dylan the Medal of Freedom. And, we know that Madeleine Albright is famous for saying, 500,000 children? Well, yes, this was a hard decision, but we think it was the right one. And speaking about the 500,000 children, Iraqi children, who perished because of U.S. sanctions. And so, it's pretty obvious who this guy is working for.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And, when he gave that speech, just last year, it was a complete reversal to the one he gave a year before that. And he said, when we come back here next year, I hope we can have an agreement that can lead to a new member of the United Nations, an independent, sovereign state of Palestine, living in peace with Israel.
Sure.
Yeah.
All righty. There's our music. We'll be back in 3 minutes after a word from our sponsors.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Hey, John.
What do you need, Steve?
Can you spare any diesel fuel?
Maybe. What do you have to offer?
How about this $5 gold piece?
What the heck am I supposed to do with that?
Come on, man. I'm your neighbor.
What else you got?
Well, I've got some heirloom squash seed.
Any zucchini? Dark green?
Yes, of course. I've got a Texas Ready Liberty seed bank.
How much diesel fuel did you say you need?
I could really use a gallon.
Yes, folks, it's not called seed money for nothing. At Texas Ready, we've thought of the big stuff and the little stuff, so you can think of the other stuff. We've got you covered from beans to barter. Order today at TexasReady.net or call 832-493-1357. That's 832-493-1357. TexasReady.net. Are you Texas Ready?
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Huh. For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Today is Keith Johnson. His website is revoltofthepleb.wordpress.com. Okay.
Yeah, picking up where I left off, just to complete this thought on the Palestinian bid for statehood. When he gave his speech, and the reason that it received such acclaim from the Jewish community is because not once during his 30-minute speech did he make any mention of the Palestinian suffering, any mention of the death and destruction that they've had to endure as a result of, well, at the time it was 63 years of Israeli occupation. But when it came to Israel, he had no shortage of sympathy. He said, let us be honest with ourselves. Israel is surrounded by neighbors that have waged repeated wars against it. Israel citizens have been killed by rockets fired at their houses. Suicide bombs on their buses. Israel's children come of age knowing that throughout the region, other children are taught to hate them. Now, does this sound like a Muslim to you? I mean, you know, he didn't call them by name, but everybody knows what he's talking about, these neighbors, Palestinians. And as far as these so-called rockets that come from Gaza into Israel once in a while, they may knock a painter off a scaffold or something, but they're a little more than bottle rockets. They're homemade. They have no explosive warheads on them. They have no, guidance system or anything like that. And, you know, it's just amazing. The whole international community was for Palestinian statehood, and they were against it. I mean, he was the one person who actually stood in its way. And Obama, you know, one of them, you know, some of the main accusations against Obama that are supposedly supposed to show him weak on Israel is this one statement, which has been misinterpreted in articles all over the place. And the usual headline that you'll see is that Obama threw Israel under the bus when he demanded that Israel return to pre-1967 borders. Well, Obama never did any such thing. He never called for Israel to return to pre-1967 borders. What he said is negotiations should be conducted with 1967 borders as the basis, with mutually agreed land swaps, which means absolutely nothing. And you know, Obama didn't say anything different than than any of the previous presidents when it came to that. As a matter of fact, I'm trying to bring this up here. When President Bush was in the Rose Garden in 2005 and he gave a speech, he said any final status agreement must be reached between the two parties, and changes to the 1949 armistice lines must be mutually agreed to. A viable two-state solution must ensure contiguity of the West Bank, and a state of scattered territories will not work. There must also be meaningful linkages between the West Bank and Gaza. This is the position of the United States today, and it will be the position of the United States at the time of final status negotiation. So Obama didn't say anything different. The 1945 armistice line is not the same as the 1967 line. As a matter of fact, the 1967 lines include more than 124 miles of land that's not even formally recognized by the United Nations as Israeli land. This area was originally set up as a buffer zone between Israel and Egypt that extended into Arab land. Like I said, 124 miles north of the 1949 armistice lines, which the Israelis ended up just taking after the Six-Day War. So President Bush, you know, despite all the crap that he's done, used the language of the 1949 armistice line over the 1967 lines for good reason. And by doing this, he actually signified the correct dividing line on which negotiations were supposed to be based. So by doing this, by Obama, even if he did say 1967 borders, Obama actually granted more of a Zionist land grab than George W. Bush. So you can see that all of this is just coming from the opponents of Obama who want to take his place. It's absolutely ridiculous. And
It's just political rhetoric. I mean, because what the politicians say and what they do are two entirely different things. And nobody is going to back the Palestinians. Absolutely no one. If somebody were, they would have already done that. And since 1948, that just has, well, actually, since 1919, nobody has backed the Palestinians. From the minute the World War I ended and the Balfour Declaration was imposed, and I believe in 1922 it was formalized, nobody has really, really considered the Palestinians. Nobody has considered the indigenous population or their wishes or desires, even though they went over and they took all of these surveys to figure out whether it would work. They came back and said, no, it wouldn't work. But they went ahead and did it anyway, because that's what they wanted. That's what the Jews wanted, and that's what they were going to get, and that's what Britain promised them in the mandate. And it was all set up at the end of World War I, and nothing is going to change that until they kill the very last Palestinian.
Yeah, and between when the occupation began in 1947 and 20-year period, that displaced more than a million Palestinians out of their homes. And now today, I mean, there are estimations between 4 million and 7 million Palestinian refugees and their descendants live outside of the state of Israel without any right of return. In contrast, you find that if you are a Israeli, if you can prove that your mother was Jewish and you live in Australia or England or anywhere in the United States, you have the right of return, even though you weren't born there. I mean, this is just the most insane thing. I mean, the people who are actually born there have no right of return. And it's not as though the Israelis are running out of land in what is considered to be Israel. I mean, 78% of Israeli Jews currently live on just 14% of the land in Israel. And the remaining 8% is largely the land of the Palestinian refugees. So these Palestinians could return to their original property, but they're not allowed to. And, you know, you listen to everything coming out of the mainstream media, and you hear about these settlements being built on the West Bank as though the Israelis are running out of room, and that they need these places because of this influx of all these Israelis. There's no influx. There's actually an exodus of Jews from Israel. But the reason they're setting up these settlements, which I just call them squatters, you know, this whole thing about settlements, doesn't that sound like it's just, you know, like they're it's covered wagon bays and they're moving into a land without a people without a land, you know, this sort of thing. But what they want to do is they want to put human bodies in there. They want to put families in there, especially women and children, so that they can't be uprooted. They're just trying to get more territory. But you see, there is a move amongst certain Jews, so here in the United States, who are Zionist, but they do want a resolution, and they are pushing for a resolution to this Israeli-Palestinian crisis. And, you know, sometimes are those in our movement, the anti-Zionist movement, who take up allegiance with these people because they have this feeling that they're, you know, they're ethical, that they want to treat the Palestinians well. But if you really press them, all they are Zionists. There's no such thing as a left-wing Zionist or a liberal Zionist. Either you're a Zionist or you're not. If you really press these people, they want a resolution prior to the 1967 borders for one reason, and that's because the image of Israel is deteriorating. As a matter of fact, there was a poll which was done by BBC recently, which shows that Israel is one of the most despised countries in the world. I think it ranks right behind Pakistan and Iran, and it actually ties with North Korea. I mean, when you tie with North Korea, that's pretty bad, don't you think?
Well, given the media vilification of North Korea, yes.
And, you know, these people who are pushing for a two-state solution, that sounds like, oh, that's a great thing. Well, it's never going to happen, for one thing, because of the policies of the Israeli government. But even if it did happen, that's a horrible solution. It's a horrible solution. Because what you are demanding of the Palestinians is that they recognize Israel as a Jewish homeland, which gives them an endorsement as an ethnocentric racist society that can move everybody out there that they consider a Jew. Okay? Plus, the Palestinians have to give up any chance of the right of return to 80%, which is Israel, 80%, or it could even be more than that, 80% of what was originally Palestine. Okay, so if they enter into an agreement and they say, okay, you're a Jewish homeland, that side's yours, this side's mine, then they end up with 20% of their land, okay, which is basically a toilet now because of what Israel has done to them. You have Hamas, which is considered a terrorist organization. So now you have a rogue nation. And a part of that agreement, too, which nobody ever tells you about, is that they have to be a demilitarized society, meaning they can't have tanks, they can't have missiles, they can't have, fighter jets, they can't have submarines, anything like that. So they're a complete demilitarized society. Their government is designated as a terrorist organization. They've given up all rights to 80% of the original homeland. What do you think is going to happen? Okay? It'll only be a matter of time before Israel stages false flags saying that it came from Palestine. And then, of course, they're going to have to, they're going to consider that a justification to move in there and to wipe them out, basically, and to kill every single one of those Palestinians in that territory. Palestinians are no match for the Israelis. And the thing is this two-state solution would also wipe out a lot of the sympathy that we have for the Palestinians. Well, not from me anyway, but from a lot of people out there, because they agreed to this. They said, okay, this is the terms in which we live. And then so anything that happens after that is going to be, you know, considered act of terrorism. It's like, oh my God, you wanted your own state. We gave you your own state. You're not happy with that. And you're committing all these terrorist acts against us. You know, we have no choice but to fight back.
Sure. Yeah. Whatever does happen, the Palestinians are definitely going to be the losers. And, you know, it's just a
no-win situation. It's a no-win situation. Exactly. But this is why, now, see, this is one of the reasons why you have this division amongst certain pro-Israel groups, because they see that the way that they see that this two-state solution, they have no sympathy. When you really think about it, they have no sympathy for the Palestinian people whatsoever. They just think that the current situation right now in the eyes of the world community is bad for business. It's bad for world Jewry. World Jewry is getting a bad name because of Israel. Israel is the weakest link. And if they continue their policies, even like Ahmadinejad said, that the worse that they do, the more horrific things that Israel does, the sooner they're going to collapse. And that's what goes back to my reasoning that if you get Romney in there, and see, this is it's a horrible way to, you know, to say, I mean, it's not like I'm endorsing Romney, but I'm just, you know, because that's a Machiavellian way of thinking, like, well, you know, it's a means to an end. It's, the death of 1,000 people might save 1,000,000. I don't believe in that kind of thing. But I am just looking at it logically and looking at it analytically, that if Romney were to get in there, there could be more horrible things that happen, primarily a strike against Iran. And that would lead to Israel's destruction. And I think that's why we see a lot of this, you know, resistance in the Obama administration. And I can get back to why he's doing a different strategy and who his backers are and the people. We'll get into that later on. But Romney would certainly strike Iran, because, like I said, these people are playing football. They're not playing chess. You know, they like to drop bombs. They like to put boots on the ground. They like to shoot people, women and children. You know, it makes them feel tough.
It's also very profitable.
Yes, yes. Yes, it could be. But
the problem with Israel and the way that other countries see that country is that people don't see it on the news. And even though there might be countries that are criticizing Israel, America does not, the American population does not hear about that criticism. You know about it, and I know about it, because we don't read the mainstream press. We don't listen to the mainstream radio or television. But I think that the biggest, the majority of the population still believe, that Israel and the Israelis are poor Holocaust victims and that they deserve to have their country. And the Palestinians have been so demonized. I mean, just the whole Muslim population has been so demonized. Daily, I receive emails about jokes about the Muslims and, you know, about a restaurant that only serves pork, and the sign out in front of the restaurant says the safest place in the United States. You know, no Muslims. I mean, and this is just typical. This is the way that the American population has been brainwashed since 9/11 and even before 9/11.
Oh yeah, most definitely. And you know, we here in the United States are the worst when it comes to knowing what's going on in the international community. Everyone is more informed than we are.
Oh yeah, we're just a very ignorant population.
Yes, we're very dumbed down. And I like to say that you know, you can pretty much gauge how stupid your community is by driving down the street and counting how many evangelical Christian Zionist churches there are. because those people are way out. I mean, these are the kinds of people who are just, I call them the three S's, scared, spoiled, and stupid.
Yes.
And, you know, if there's any good news, I think that in a generation or two, that this Christian Zionist nonsense is going to be, you know, completely irrelevant. And that could be our only, you know.
Right.
There's not a lot of young people who are coming into this religion. They're actually making a mass exodus against it.
All righty, we do need to go. We'll be back in 3 minutes. Stay tuned.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcasts, as well as a contest corner where we'll raffle different prizes to our listeners. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Our guest is Keith Johnson. His website is revoltoftheplebs.wordpress.com. And we're talking about, basically, about the population of the United States being very ignorant. And we're also talking about the Christian Zionist. And you said that they were, that the younger people were vacating those churches in a large number. Why do you say that?
Well, this is something that was related to me by our good friend Chuck Carlson from Straight Gate Ministries. We hold these truths. He did some research on this. He showed me a poll that was done by a Christian organization, which showed that attendance among young people is down. And, you know, I personally witnessed this when I attended this Islamophobic conference in Nashville, Tennessee, this anti-Sharia thing, which was held in a church, was held at the Cornerstone Church in Madison, Tennessee, which is a suburb of Nashville. And I've got to tell you, 98-99% of the attendants were, they were mostly churchgoers, by the way, but 98% of the attendants were people over the age of 50, these people who were buying into this stuff. And, you know, I rarely, if I did see someone that was under 50, maybe I saw a handful of them, but the young people that were there, you know, were dragged by their parents or their grandparents to go to this thing. So, I mean, it's something that's visible. At least I saw. And plus, you know, you've got the internet now. You've got people who are becoming more aware of a lot of the things that are going on in our world. And I really do have a lot of faith in this generation. I mean, the people that come from my generation and a couple generations, you know, before mine, as some of the most ignorant people, the most, you know, disinformed, most propagandized people on the face of the planet. And I think I brought this up on your last program, especially these people that come from the World War II generation. They're so indoctrinated. They are so brainwashed that it's like they're a part of their brain that's callous. There's no way of reaching them. I know some of these people in my family personally. There's just no reaching them. And, you know, these are the kind of people you'll find sitting in with their little TV trays in front of them as they're sitting and watching, you know.
They still South make those things?
Yeah, in South Florida, you know, eating their vitamins and their healthy choice dinners or whatever. Yeah, exactly. sitting in front of the TV watching Sean Hannity and their precious, oh, they love that little toe-headed boy, Glenn Beck. They just think he's the most wonderful thing on the planet, and if only their son can be like that. know, it's amazing.
Oh, goodness. You know, the other factor that I think is pretty important here is that we have a lot of people that can't get jobs, a lot of the younger generation who can't get jobs. They can't afford to go to college, but they can join the military. And so even though, you know, ideology is very important when you're talking about the stuff we're talking about, but employment and lack of funds also play a part. We do have to take a 60-second top of the hour break. We'll be right back in 60 seconds.